On today's episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, I recap Carolina's most recent football game against Tennessee, as well as review my six-pack of picks and give a preview into this week ahead. All right, here we go. Okay, welcome to episode 10 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I'm your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode between 1801 and 2001. And you know what, y'all? It's episode 10. I have hit double digits. I want to take a quick reset in case there is anyone new who is listening. What I mean by 1801 to 2001 is I'm going to aim to keep every episode of this podcast between 18 minutes and 1 second. Shout out to our founding, USC. And 20 minutes and 1 second, obviously, 2001, A Space Odyssey. So if you are a new listener, welcome. If you've been here from the beginning, thank y'all. Episode 10, this is only the beginning. But I think I should have at least some sort of disclaimer here, maybe a little bit of an announcement. I think this is now a true crime podcast. Yeah, this is a true crime podcast now because, y'all, the Gamecocks are killing me. They have lured me down, and they have stabbed me in the heart like I'm Jon Snow. If you couldn't tell, I'm quite upset about this past weekend. Actually, I'm lying. I'm quite devastated. Shout out Stephen A. Smith. But all kidding aside, you know, I'm hurt. I'm still hurting. I'm recording this on Monday, a day later than I normally do, but it's just putting the new coaching staff or putting the old coaching staff, putting all these aside, there has just been this pattern, I feel like, of Carolina where we have some momentum, we have good vibes, we feel like we could steal a big win, and then we've just been regularly getting our hearts ripped out. And I'm tired of it. I am tired of it. I, like all y'all, I want this program to be good so bad. I want it to be good. Again, not even great. I'm not asking for great. Just be a good team that can handle going on the road and beating someone, right? And you know what? Just be a team that doesn't get embarrassed or embarrass itself. And I've said it before that we have to try and keep perspective. It's year one, year zero, depending on how you want to call it, of the Shane Beamer era. And I do believe that, but like, you have to give it time, but that doesn't make the losses hurt any less. And it sure as hell doesn't mean that we have to excuse horrendous coaching decisions from anyone on this staff. You know, I mean, I mentioned it on the last episode that it would be interesting to see how Carolina and Tennessee compare over these next few years since they're both new coaching staff, yada, yada, yada. And I look, one game doesn't tell us the whole story. But it sure as hell looks like Tennessee has found their guy, and he has proven that you don't have to wait multiple years to see success. So that was a little disheartening. But with all that being said, what I will do is my normal breakdown of overall themes to the game. I noticed I'll break down each side of the ball, and then we're going to try to flush this one away as best as we can. So overall themes for this past weekend's game in Knoxville. I mean, did anyone fucking prepare for this game? I mean, really, that first quarter was probably the worst quarter of football I have ever seen, and I am a Jets fan. Everyone and their mother knew that Tennessee likes to start fast, they want to take their shots, and they want to build an early lead, right? I said that on Friday, more or less. But apparently, that memo missed the Carolina coaching staff because all we saw was a defense that couldn't stop a nosebleed in the first quarter, and Tennessee moved up and down the field at will. And immediately into a deep hole, and it felt like the game was just done. But again, outside of that, penalties. Again, just brutal penalties on the kickoff after the first score, which gave us shitty field position. Yet a couple of false start penalties that killed some drives, and it's just insane to me that we cannot have team discipline. I mean, Beamer is a guy who seems like he understands that you have to find creative ways to win, especially when at Carolina, right? That's why he prioritizes special teams. So it goes against that logic that you have such an undisciplined team because you're constantly putting yourself at a disadvantage, having to play from behind the chains and just digging yourselves into hole after hole after hole. Ugh. And you know what? I was going to wait to do this, but we're just going to let it rip. We're just going to lip right now. What in the hell is Marcus Satterfield smoking? Like, is he okay? Like, is he well? Does he watch the same game and the same sport that we do? I don't know. Obviously, I'm strongly referencing the play calling in the first quarter when we drove to about, what, the 2-yard line? But you know what? Let me just set the stage for y'all, shall we? Carolina was down 14-0 super quickly, and to that point, the offense had not done much. But then we get the ball, and then wait, there's hope. Kevin Harris rips a nice few runs, just bullying people. And guess what? The bus looked back. I was saying the bus, the muscle hamster. Luke Doty had a few nice quick throws. We were moving the chains. We were marching, had a little tempo going, looked nice, a little rhythm to us. And then, thanks to Kevin Harris, Carolina goes all the way down to the Tennessee 2 or even the 1-yard line. So, in other words, Carolina has 4 chances to gain about 4 feet to cut the score in half, gain some momentum, and make it a ball game. But then Marcus Satterfield decided to prove to us that he is a quote-unquote football guru. And I honestly think that that's what happened. I think he's up there in the booth and thought to himself, I know more football than anyone here. I've learned every offense under the sun, and right now, they're never going to see this coming. So obviously, he did what he did. Now, when we ran the first play out of the Wildcat, I thought to myself, all right, that was dumb, didn't work, whatever, it happens, but let's pound this thing in there and get 6 points. But no. Marcus Satterfield, not to be outdone by himself, runs a trick play on second down and has Jordan Birch, defensive lineman Jordan Birch, throw it into the end zone, who ends up throwing a pick. First off, even for a real quarterback, it's hard to throw in the red zone, as we all know, because of the tight windows, let alone a lineman whose job is not that. Let alone a defensive lineman whose job is not even to look at opposing defenses. But second off, the team was down by 2 scores. Tennessee was scoring at will. We had to score there to get back into the game. So this is most definitely not the time to take the ball out of both your starting quarterback and running back, who had momentum and got you there. Kevin Harris was rolling over guys all drive. He finally looked like his old self. Tennessee had, they got multiple guys hurt on that drive, right? If there was ever a time to trust him to pound it in, it's there. But if not him, you could have done a quarterback sneak. You could have given it to Juju on a stretch. You could have thrown it to EJ Jenkins in the back of the end zone. Literally anything else would have been better than what the hell that was. I was disgusted. I still am. Tennessee ended up scoring right away after that. And in that moment I felt it, and it turned out to be true, the game was over. It was the first quarter. Game was over. I don't know how those decisions work, but I sure hope that in the play calling moment, it's just Marcus Satterfield and it was him being an absolute dumbass. Because if it's a situation where you're trying to tell me that multiple people okayed that decision, then we have a much bigger problem to handle. But I'm not going to assume that that is the case. I'm going to go under the assumption that he calls the plays and it was his mistake. And I don't know what else to say other than I was disgusted. I was embarrassed. I mean, how you don't just try to pound it in there is, it's just beyond me. Right? I mean, maybe if you get stopped three times, you can get cute on fourth down, but not on first and second. I'll just never understand it. And I mean, look, as of now, Satterfield has lost a lot of my trust. Right? I'm not saying he's got to go, but in order for me to believe that he is really the man for this job, I need to see a lot. I need to see a drastic improvement. I need to see nice, solid decisions and continued improvement. But all right. Now that we got that over, let me break down each side of the ball, and then we'll move on to how my six-pack of picks went, and then we'll wrap this episode up, and like I said, try to flush this one away. On the defensive side of the ball, what I didn't like most of what I saw. I mean, we gave up chunk plays early. We had some guys get beat down the field, and it put us in a hole so early that we were just never able to get out of, right? We gave up a huge touchdown run where that guy, I don't even know who the hell his name was, he barely got touched. And at least early in the game, it felt like we needed Tennessee to make the mistakes in order for us to slow them down, which is not the Carolina defense we had seen to this point. Look, I understand that they go fast and there's communication issues and all of that jazz. But you got to find a way to adjust in the moment. What I did like was it was in the second half, particularly in the third and early on in the third, it did seem like Clayton White tightened things up a bit. And we were able to stop Tennessee in that second half, particularly in the beginning of the second half. There were a couple of big sacks thrown in there as well. I believe one comes to mind where J.J. Nibari had a great play. And while Hendon Hooker was shifty, he did have some nice scrambles. It did seem like we were able to contain him a decent bit. So in that second half, there was reason to be optimistic or not completely embarrassed, I guess. Now shifting over to the offense, what I didn't like, where the hell were the deep shots? I mean, it felt like we were barely trying to push the ball downfield, which was something we got accustomed to seeing. And yet I felt like we didn't really see it. And I think Tennessee, they were already susceptible to the long ball, but they were down a corner or two to believe. I believe, not to believe. And this is gonna sound like an old man on his porch observation, but I didn't like that our receivers, it just felt like they were constantly looking for flags for interference. Sometimes I felt like they probably were warranted, but you got to execute, man. Like, you got to fight for those. Like, if you feel the guy on your back, you got to make it happen, especially when you're down, right? We got to make our own shit happen here. We can't hope for the refs to bail us out time and again. And our line, they gave up a couple of really poorly timed sacks and other tackles for loss. Ones that killed drives, ones that you had to get a conversion, and they just gave up at really inopportune times. And the line is still just a huge question mark that I just can't quite figure out. Now, what I did like, I alluded to it earlier. I was glad to see Kevin Harris look like the player we all knew he was. I mean, he had some nice runs throughout the game, and he even got himself a touchdown. Imagine that, giving your running back the ball near the goal line. Wow, it worked? No. What a concept. Hopefully Satterfield makes a note of that forever. But I was also glad to see Luke show his mobility. I mean, he looked comfortable running once again. There were a couple times where it looked like he turned it up and was willing to take a hit, whereas earlier in the year he was running out of bounds or sliding early. So I was happy to see that. And similar to the defense, we seemed to find a better rhythm later in the game. And it seemed like people were saying, well, if everyone plays like they did in the second half against Tennessee moving forward, we could win a bunch of ball games. Yeah, I agree, but could you make the argument that maybe Tennessee took their foot off the gas a little bit? You know, I think you certainly can. But also, I want to see four quarters of that. Like, why does it take us getting our ass beat to wake up? That's what I'm tired of. I want to see coming out and playing to the best of our abilities for four quarters. And it just feels like for a while that has been something that Carolina has not been able to do. I don't know what it is, but we have to figure that out because that's what good teams do. Honorable mention of things I did like was that really excellent, well-executed fake punt. I mean, that was a spot where we had, if we had actually punted the ball away, it would have been asinine. I would have been furious. Like, that's a Will Muschamp thing to do. So at least Beamer and company knew the situation. They had a feel for it, and they were going to go for it. And honestly, Kai Kroger, he threw a hell of a ball. I mean, that was a nice throw, man. So that was cool to see. Good to see us being a little creative there, I guess. Overall for the game, though, my thoughts are that it was a very tough pill to swallow. I mean, yes, there were moments that gave me optimism, mostly in that second half, but now our job as a program and our job as fans is to process that as quickly as we can, try to flush it away, and look forward to try to end this season strong. There's a whole half of the season left, so we can look at this one of two ways. Glass half empty or glass half full. I'm going glass half full. We still have a whole half of the season to figure this thing out and to write the story of this team. Shane Beamer said something just like that where he said, the story of the 2021 Gamecocks is still being written. So we're 3-3. I can get behind that. We have some winnable games ahead of us. We have to find a way to string some good performances together. And we'll see how it goes. All right, so moving on. Speaking of 3-3, I'm going to bring on my six-pack of picks. We also went 3-3. So ACC, Georgia Tech at Duke, that was under 61. That was a win. Big Ten, Maryland at Ohio State. I had Ohio State minus 21. That was a W. Quick spinoff from the Big Ten. I don't know if y'all caught the Iowa and Penn State game. That was an incredible game just from a football fan standpoint. Iowa stormed back late to win. Iowa, they are looking like they are in a really good position to see the playoff. They could be for real. Going into that game, I thought that maybe they were the beneficiaries of some soft scheduling. Penn State's no joke. Yes, it was at home, but that takes guts to pull out that win. So Iowa could be for real. My Big 12 game, I picked the Red River Showdown. I had Texas plus 3 against Oklahoma. That was an L. You know what that was? Texas, to me, that day was like a girl you're talking to at the bar. Maybe you're dancing a little bit. Things seem to be going well. She's telling me I'm cute, all that jazz. And then right when I think we might be getting ready to leave, she walks outside and just leaves me standing there with the check. But then wait, Texas came back and tied it. She comes back in only to lose the lead, and she gives her phone number to the bartender, and Oklahoma wins by a touchdown. Incredible game, though. Really thought I had that pick, though. Pac-12, I had Oregon State minus 3.5 at Washington State. That was just an outright loss. That's what you get just for picking one blind. In the SEC, I had Vandy at Florida over 59.5. What I thought would happen did, in the sense that Florida would score more than the spread. I was banking on a Vandy garbage time touchdown or two. That did not happen. That was a loss. But in the SEC, I'm not breaking any news here, but down goes Bama. Unbelievable game. Unranked Texas A&M. I don't care whatever their record may be, whatever they may be ranked. Going to A&M, especially at night, that place is insane. That's a tough place to win. We have a new number one in the country, Georgia. Georgia just continues to roll. This is going to be really interesting. I mean, we're halfway through the season. It is time to really think about, we might have multiple new schools in the playoff. Cincinnati's high up there, at least in the AP poll. Going to be very interesting to watch. Speaking of Cincinnati, my group of five, it was on Friday. Temple at Cincinnati, -29. Cincinnati covered. They are rolling. If they win out, and maybe there's another loss or two from a Power 5 conference, we might see the Bearcats in the playoff. I mean, that would be electric. I'm all for it. I'm all for new people. I think it's going to be a breath of fresh air for the sport, but we'll see how it goes. All right, with that, that really wraps up the episode. I mean, this upcoming week, we have homecoming week down in Carolina. I'm jealous of all the festivities. Gamecocks open as, I believe, a 17-point favorite against Vandy. Let's give them hell, boys. And all right, go Cocks. I'll catch y'all Friday.